Thanksgiving is an expression of gratitude, but it's more than that. It's your fellowship with the Father. Thanksgiving is your fellowship with the Father. Thanksgiving is all over the Word of God. That's what we're going to look at it today. And of course, you know, the reason we, you know, have this period of time is that even the people who came to this land, to this continent, to this country, came for the purpose of expressing the kingdom of God, of expanding the kingdom of God. You'll remember the Mayflower Compact. We talked about that, you know, at some length, maybe last year this time. Is that for the kingdom of God, for the expansion of the kingdom of God, for the furthering of the kingdom of God. That's why these people came to this country. Well, maybe other people came for other reasons. But I tell you what, if God's people came to expand the kingdom of God, then that's the purpose for a place. Amen? If God set His foot on this place, He put His foot on this place to expand His kingdom. Who's going to oppose Him? Who's going to come against Him? If God be for us, who could be against us? So God decided to come in and claim this and put His foot on it. Well, who else is, you know, He just stepped on whoever's foot was on it before. Amen? He did, you know, squid. Oh, God, you're on my foot. Good. Submit. Just submit to me and you'll be blessed. Submit to me and you'll be blessed. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks, you know, not with a grumpy heart. I love that song. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Don't give thanks with a grumpy heart. You know, okay, fine. No. You know how little kids do? Say thank you. Thank you. You know, they don't want to say thank you. Somebody let them in. They're missing the message. Let them in. So God, He commands us to be thankful. Why does He command us to be thankful? So that we'll be blessed. So we'll be joyful. So we'll be happy. I tell you what, being thankful will change your mind. Amen? Being thankful. You imagine being unthankful? Has anybody ever experienced that? Can you being unthankful? Well, God, you know, this is wrong, that's wrong, everything is wrong, you know. No, because you don't see the whole picture. You don't know the picture. You know, who put breath on the inside of you? God. God put breath on the inside of you. He put all the molecules, He put all the chromosomes all together for you. He made you you. He didn't make women men. He didn't make men women. He made you you. And you have to, what God says now is trust me. Trust me and walk in thanksgiving for what you have, those things that you have. Walk in thanksgiving. I want you to meditate on thanksgiving this week. Is what it is to be thankful, not just thank you, you know, please, thank you, you're welcome. We teach all of our kids to please, thank you. Gladys learned it when she was a little baby. Please, thank you, you're welcome. You remember all three of those? But it's more than that. There is a power behind thanksgiving. There is a power behind thanksgiving. So giving thanks is so important and powerful. So to meditate on something that God spends so much time on is very important for us to do. Of course, over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, we remember this. This is everybody's memory verses. It says, in everything, give thanks. But he says something else. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So He tells you what to do. He tells you why to do it. He tells you who does it, and who is to do it, and He tells you where it resides is in Christ Jesus. When you're in Christ Jesus, you are to give. This is the will of God. What a big verse. Let's read it. In everything. You know, some little child got killed by something. You know, no, in everything, not for everything. We don't thank God for, you know, evil. We don't credit God for evil that the devil has done. He says, you know, woe to him who gives God credit for evil when it was the devil. I mean, there is a demon, there is demonic power in the world that is doing evil. But God still overwhelms the devil. It's Robert Moore, our friend, used to say it's God's devil. How many of the devil isn't more powerful than God? You know, when the devil came to God, how you doing? Came to Job, came looking at Job. Hey, and God says this. You know, the devil didn't say, hey, I've been noticing that Job guy. The devil didn't bring up Job. Who did? God did. The devil's walking along. They're walking along having coffee or something. And he says, hey, Satan, have you considered my servant Job? And of course, if Job had been in on that conversation, don't you know, he would have been going, no. Don't mention my name to the devil. Oh, it's okay. You know, everything's going fine. So, you know, you're thinking you do not want your name mentioned, you know, that God would mention your name to the devil. But God said, hey, have you considered my servant Job? Perfect man. It gets worse. You know, perfect man, never does anything wrong. And of course, the devil, he's begging the devil to jump in. You know, he says, oh, he's afraid of you. He'd never do anything. You touch him, he'll curse you. He will do it. Just watch this. And they kind of have a bet going. And he says, well, go ahead and, you know, well, you can have this and this and this, but just don't touch him. And so he goes on. But the point being is that the devil is your enemy, but the devil is not a victor. He is not victorious unless you let him, because you are walking in the power of God. Now, does God let the devil do some things? Apparently, but I'm not gonna get down and out about what the devil does, no matter what it is, because I have learned. In whatsoever things and whatsoever state I am, to be content. I have learned. Over there in Philippians, it tells us. It says, I have learned, I know how, and I am instructed to suffer all things without being complaining, without being fearful. Because you have learned that this world is not a great place. What did Jesus say? In the world you have... But be of good cheer. Well, how can you do that? Be of good cheer. No. Well, okay, you just missed. You just lost. If you refuse to be of good cheer in the middle of what the devil is trying to do, then you have lost. You have lost a blessing. I have determined in whatsoever state I am to be therewith to be content. Contentment is not, okay, the devil wins. No, contentment is, hey, God's got this no matter what circumstance I'm in. You know, and a lot of people don't like that kind of boldness. Amen? Or you just hadn't seen it yet, brother. No, I've seen plenty. There are people here who can tell you I've seen plenty. But I am determined to rejoice and to give praise to God and to sing His praises, to thank Him in the middle of whatever circumstance I'm in. So that we can rejoice. And it's not me. It's you too. You're the same. Because the living God, the Holy Spirit, lives on the inside of you. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. Thank you, Jesus. For this is the will of God. What is the will of God? Giving thanks. This is the will of God. In Christ Jesus. Are you in Him? We just read that in John 17. You're in Him. He's in us, you and me and Him, us and them. Concerning everybody else. No, concerning you. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus that He has for you. So I'm going to give thanks in everything. I'm going to give thanks in everything. Now, do I complain? Absolutely. I mean, you know, Jim used to complain about people traveling slow. I complain about people traveling fast. You know, I complain about Pastor Jim passing me. You know, go you jerk. You're running people off the road. How about motorcycles? Y'all like motorcycles? You know, the guys who drive up the middle of the lane. You know, don't you want to curse them? I said, no. Janet sees the Holy Spirit. She's like, now let them alone. Quit being so ugly to them, you know. Yeah, but did you see that? You know. And Jim would be, that would be, you know, he'd be the opposite. He'd say, get out of my way. I cannot. I'd be riding with him. He'd tell me, you can get over there. And we'd driving down to Austin or something. He'd tell me how I could get around this guy. If you'll go now, you can get around him. Because it was frustrating him sitting in the passenger seat. So it's amazing. In everything, give thanks. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 15 says, for all things are yours for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. So everything is for your sake. Whether it goes good or whether it's bad, everything is for your sake. That the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Thanksgiving produces glory to God. Amen? Thanksgiving produces glory to God. Because you're giving thanks to God out loud for whatever's going on. And people are going, how could you give thanks? You know, how could you give thanks in the middle of that problem? My kids, my oldest son is has two children. They got three children. Two of them are in power chairs. Two of them are was 10 and 8, and they got something called SM. Today, right now, we believe in God for healing. We believe in healing. Everybody believe in healing here? That God heals people. He healed them when he was here, and he's healing them today. We're believing God they're going to get up out of those wheelchairs. But see, people look at my kids, and my kids are joyful. My kids are they're parents. The parents of these kids. Dan, can you just stand there? Yeah. And so when those kids are, when the people see those kids and you see a family with two young kids in wheelchairs, I mean, people go, oh, that's so sad. Or I'm glad that ain't me, you know. And so what they're doing is they're giving thanks to God and they are joyful in their lives. They are joyful in their lives so that they hear. And that ends up in redounding or ending up in the joy, the thanksgivings to God. Because somebody is giving thanks to God for a situation that's not ideal. You ever been in a situation that's not ideal? But you know what your testimony is? Giving thanks instead of crying and griping about it. Amen? Giving thanks for that circumstance. I mean, it's a bad circumstance. I mean, there are so many things that that's not the only one, right? Kids in wheelchairs, that's not the only one. But everybody has got circumstances that they can either complain about or they can rejoice about. And you're rejoicing not in the circumstance, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. You're rejoicing in the midst of it. Amen. You're rejoicing in the midst of it. Amen. Yeah. So that encourages you. David encouraged himself in the Lord. He had all of his enemies coming after him, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. I mentioned earlier about Psalm 103. It says, bless the Lord. That's a mirror. Pretend that's a mirror. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So you're talking to you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. So you're speaking to yourself. The Bible says, talking about over in the New Testament, speaking to yourselves in what? Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, rejoicing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So all of these things. Poor Job, he didn't quite know what God was doing. He didn't quite know what God was doing. And he went through some really horrible times. And God did, and he did not know what God was doing. He's going, well, and his friends were out there, you know, come on, Job, we're going to help you find your sin. We're going to really help you. We know there's got to be one somewhere, and we're going to dig it out. After they came and sat with him for 7 days, because all of his family was killed, you know, you remember that, you know. And so he was there, and they mourned with him for 7 days, but then they started in on him. You know how that's how people do, right? You know, when they come mourn with you for 7 days, but then they start in on you. Well, brother, let me share with you what I see and what I think. You know, they were trying to find him, dig up his sin. You know, and of course, you know, Job tells us early on in the book, I mean, God liked him. He said, he's a perfect man. You know, Job didn't know that, but he's giving sacrifices to God. He's loving God. He's seeking God. He's going after God whole hog. He's even sacrificing for his own kids in case they didn't. But there's something he didn't know. He didn't know the true presence of God. He didn't know the love of God. He knew the law of God and the works of God. You know, and some folks believe it was even before the law was given. It was even, you know, it could have been before Abraham. He was just like an outlier, somebody who had a relationship with the God who made heaven and earth. His Job had this relationship, you know, without law, without promise, without covenant, but he just knew the God, just like the Romans one God. You know who the Romans one God, right? Everybody knows. The funny thing is God said in Romans 1, everybody knows. Even before Abraham, everybody knows. You know, when Noah was there, you know, who was the guy? Yeah, you know, all these guys, they all know that there is a God in heaven. You know, every atheist knows. You know, the only reason atheists don't believe in God is because they do. You realize every atheist believes in God? Every atheist is a better Christian than you are. Every atheist, because he's afraid of God. Do you know that every atheist is afraid of God? That's why they deny him. That's why they're running away. They do not want to meet that God. But the problem is God is pursuing him. God is pursuing him. You know, and even Christians, they don't know the real God. They know the God that you serve. You know, you serve God. You got saved by believing in Jesus, and now you must serve him. No, he's not saying that. He don't want to be served. He wants to put the Holy Spirit on you, in you, and let you just worship him, and he'll serve. He'll do the serving.
Amen.
He'll do the serving. He loves to get on the inside of you and just love his people. He doesn't want you loving him. You don't do a good job. He wants to come on the inside of you and love people. And he's doing it if you just come into his presence, like Dan was talking about. He's ever liveth. The reason he lives is to make intercession for you.
Hallelujah.
That he ever liveth. So, and that thanksgiving that comes out of your mouth creates thanksgiving to God. Somebody goes, whoa, how can you smile having those two girls in those wheelchairs? How can you get up and down every single day? You know, they have to put those girls in bed every day. They have to change them every day. They have to have nurses, you know. Thank God they have help with it. But they have nurses who take them to school so they can both work. So the mom and dad can both work. I mean, thank God. You know, do you want to have your little girls running around? You know, I think about that, you know, is that, you know, I'd love to have my grandkids running around like all the other grandkids. Yeah. But they don't. They do run around. They roll around. I mean, there's a reason they call them power chairs. Look out.
They rearrange my furniture.
Yeah, they rearrange the furniture. Yeah, when you come into your house, they rearrange your furniture. It's like an obstacle course. You know, what do they call it? Yeah.
Try to stay out of the way.
But our family rejoices. Amen? They're rejoicing. And that brings thanksgiving to God, because people see that and they go, whoa, there must be a God. At least they, if there is a God, they know Him. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious. It says be careful in the King James. Be careful, full of care. You could use the word anxious. Full of anxiety for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Here comes anxiety. Hi! You see all your troubles? Would you like to be anxious today? Would you like to freak out today and get all worked up about everything that's going wrong? You know, he says, be anxious for nothing. But rather, he gives you a different course. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, oh, there's that everything again, dagnabbit. Is that a curse word? It's, you know, you in everything, God is saying again, there's the everything. In everything, by prayer and supplication with
thanksgiving.
Oh my. Let your request, not crying and weeping and with thanksgiving.
Amen.
Prayer, supplication, and come on, say that one.
Thanksgiving.
Yes. Prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. God, thank you for handling that. Thank you for getting those girls up out of those wheelchairs. In Jesus' name. Well, gee, it's been 6 weeks. It's been 6 months. It's been 6 years. You're thanking God. Remember this guy named Abraham? You know, God promised him a son. 25 years later. You know, God, are we doing this? With thanksgiving. Not that long. Not that much longer. Apparently they can have babies though. He says he considered his own body now dead. So his body, his body had give up. His body was now, he considered his, huh?
He even had children after that.
Yeah, I know. Then it just kept going. You know that, right? When he got married after Sarah died, he got married to Keturah and they had more kids. I guess when God starts something, it goes. It keeps going. Be careful, men. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. Oh, sorry, let's back up to that other one. It said, with thanksgiving, what happens? Let your requests be made known unto God. Do not fail to pray. Do not fail to pray. With thanksgiving. God wants you to pray. He wants you to, with supplications, prayers, with thanksgiving. He wants you to do that. He wants you to do that. You know, you get impatient. Stop it. People get impatient. Stop it. Amen?
Amen.
Don't get impatient. Let your request be made known unto God with thanksgiving. Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. Okay, now listen to that. As you have received Him. How did you receive Him? By
faith.
Thank you. So walk ye in Him. As you have received Him, walk like that. So we walk by faith, not by sight. So walk ye in Him, and He's going to further describe that as being rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. This is Colossians 2, 6 and 7. You can write it down or put it in your phone or whatever you do. Having been rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as you have been taught. Hopefully you've been taught that here. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. Man, there it is again. It just keeps rolling in. Thanksgiving continues to roll in. Everything you're doing, you're walking along. God, thank you so much. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that everything is going my way. That's what I say. Amen.
Amen.
Remember Jim said, you know, hey Jim, Pastor Jim, how are you? Perfect. You know. They would goad him like that, you know. Pastor Jim, how you doing? They just wanted to hear him say it. Perfect. Yeah, because they can't say that for some reason. They're afraid to say it, like Job, you know. They're afraid to say, perfect, you know. You know, I tell everybody, I said, everything's going my way because I'm not looking. You know, if I was to look, I might think things weren't going my way. If I was to pay attention to what might be going wrong, But I say, everything's going my way. Because I'm not looking. Everything's going my way. Who am I looking at? Jesus. I'm looking at the Lord. Everything is going my way. Because I remember Pastor used to sing that song out of what? Song of the South? Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-yay. My, oh my, what a wonderful day. Plenty of sunshine going my way. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-yay. I mean, it's not a Christian movie, right?
Right.
But it's a guy with an attitude. A guy who knows that everything is going your way. Yeah, everybody's going to be singing that all day long now. Amen. All right. Abounding. There's that abounding with thanksgiving again, okay? Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and watch therein with thanksgiving. So, continue in thanksgiving. Read it again. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. When you're looking and when you're praying, you're watching, you're looking forward with thanksgiving, not with when's it going to happen. You're watching with thanksgiving. Well, how come we're reading this thanksgiving word? This is getting boring. I don't like it. No, you're good. I'm glad you're getting the idea that this word is a word that God continually uses, or Paul continually uses. I got a bunch of them here that I don't have bolded. So that means we won't be as much. We won't take as much time. Every 1 Timothy 4:4, every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Well, I can't eat that. No, that's not what he said. He said every creature of God. In fact, there was in the verse before that, 1 Timothy 4:3, it says some folks were forbidding to marry, and he puts that in the same sentence with, and commanding to abstain from meats. Of course, you know, in some denominations, they, you know, if you're serving in the ministry, they command you to that you don't marry. Here, apparently, forbidding to marry is against the will of God. You don't tell people to forbid to marry with respect to, you know, rather than staying single, you know. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. This, of course, Timothy is talking about. He's talking about. Ministers and people who have come in and been set apart for the ministry to abstain from meats which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them that believe and know the truth. Next verse, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. So there are things that were set aside in dietary things set aside for the purposes of showing God's the law of God and how God says there are some things that are clean and some things that are unclean. But now that you are in Christ Jesus, that ceremonial law has been done away with. So everything from the beginning, he didn't restrict those things until the law, and now after the law has been fulfilled, He doesn't restrict those things any longer. Crab.
Yep.
Catfish.
Yep.
Pork.
Bacon.
Now, could there be some scientific and health reasons to avoid some of those things? Yeah, I imagine so. But you're doing that for that, not because of a restriction. Because God said everything's okay, just with prayer. He said everything's fine. Every creature of God.
So it's okay to eat pork now?
Apparently.
Even ones that carry their house on their back?
Do you decide. What is God telling you?
I didn't stay away from it myself.
There you go. Okay, stay away from it. In other words, I'm just reading the Bible.
Yeah.
I'm just reading the New Testament. Now, if there are other reasons to not do such a thing, to not eat one thing or another thing, again, like I was talking about, scavengers,
yeah.
Right? You know, or pork. Again, I'm not telling you go eat pork today,
right.
But I'm telling you God said the restriction is no longer there.
Yeah.
But he said, except there is one restriction. What is it?
Oh, eating something that's going to go.
Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
There is one restriction. It's Thanksgiving. Amen?
Amen.
Now, don't tell me, don't anybody say, I said something that wasn't in the Bible. You would just read it, right? Amen. He said, where do you say it? Oh, said it on the previous page. Every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. There you go. So, you go ask Jesus what you should eat or not eat. Amen? Praise the Lord. But just don't say, don't say that the Word of God refuses it. Now, in the Old Testament law, yes. Absolutely. Are you under the Old Testament law? No. If you're born again, now, don't do it. Now, if somebody's going to say, okay, well, does that mean adultery? You can do adultery too? No, he didn't say that. He said he's talking about food. Okay? He's talking about food. He's not talking about adultery and fornication. He's not talking about that. All right. Well, I tell you what, it's hard to preach. You get yourself in all kinds of hot water if you do. We're talking about Thanksgiving. Ephesians 5:4, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Don't spend your time with foolish talking, bad jokes, you know. Don't spend your time in that, but rather giving of thanks. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things. There's that in everything again. Pesky command. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Always. How often are you giving thanks? Always. For how much? All things. And the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks, Colossians 1:12, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet, or prepared us, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. We're giving thanks to Him. And whatsoever, Colossians 3:17, whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Whatever you do, in word or deed, coming out of your mouth, or the work of your hands, or we can just probably add where you go with your feet. But you don't have to if you don't want to. I add wherever I go. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. 1 Timothy 2:1, exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. This is, you know, when you're coming to the Lord in prayer. So, you're giving supplications, prayers, and intercessions, and giving of thanks for all men. Again, you know, we just had our elections, right? And we're trying to boot out some people and get in other people. You know, that's why you vote. That's why you vote, right?
Yeah.
And if yours worked, you're thankful. You know what? Be thankful even if yours didn't work.
Yeah.
Oops. Be thankful even if your guy didn't get in. Be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful to God. Be worship Him. Glorify God. You know, because you could take an opportunity to get into your flesh. But God, as you have prayed, and in you and in this country, or this country, county, state, you have voted according to what you, your conscience, what the Lord God has told you, you vote. You know, we had people who we voted for in the past who didn't get elected. They came in by about that much less, you know, and didn't get in. But God had told them to run. How do they know? Because they know the voice of God. You know the voice of God. You won't hear the voice of a stranger. Doesn't the Bible tell you that? If you're a Christian, you're a believer in the Lord Jesus. He said, they hear my sheep, Jesus said, hear my voice. And they will not hear the voice of a stranger. That's a promise from Jesus. It's because He put the Holy Spirit on the inside of you so that you would hear His voice. So don't say, well, He just didn't hear God. You can't say that. He might have told him, go do that. He told Daniel, remember? He told Daniel was right there, you know, and there was a big statue that they built and said you had to worship God. When they told Daniel, okay, don't pray. Well, you could say Daniel told him not to pray. See, he got put in the lion's den. You know, God, he should have not prayed. No, that's not what God said, pray. In fact, when he prayed, he opened the window. You know, he opened them and made sure the windows were open. And then all those guys came and crept underneath the windows. Remember that? Over in Daniel? Daniel chapter 6. They came in and they all crawled up under the window. They're looking like this. And seeing if Daniel's praying. So they could go, you know, tell the king. So all of that. So just because something doesn't turn out the way that you thought or everybody thought, hey, God told me to run, I must be going to win. Well, sometimes you don't win. Give thanks. Give thanks. I got fired. Give thanks. Well, ask God, why'd you get fired? Did you get fired because you didn't do your job? You know, did you get fired because you yelled at the boss? Did you get fired for cause? You know, you might want to check that out and say, God, did I get fired for cause? No. Maybe you got fired because you talked about Jesus and we're still doing your job. You know, a lot of people talk about Jesus, that they look at their job as an evangelist. I'm an evangelist to this company. Well, yeah, but you better be doing your job while you're evangelizing. Yeah. Amen. So be a witness of being a faithful servant and a faithful worker, you know, like he talks about over in Ephesians. You know, it tells you, you know, servants, obey your masters, not just with eye service, but you believe God. When God gives you opportunity to teach or to share, you do that. Amen. So back over here, we're praying for all men, even the ones that we don't like. If you didn't like the last president and you like the new one, well then, you know, give thanks. Pray for them and pray for them, making intercession. Amen? For all men. Maybe you don't like, you know, China for some reason. Pray for them. They got a great church over there. They got a big church. Biggest church in the world is in China. Fastest growing church in the world, I believe, is in Iran right now. Yeah. You know, do you like Iran? Yeah. Pray for them. Pray for the church. Those are your brothers and sisters. Praying for all men. And giving thanks. Give thanks for all men. Even the ones you're kind of grumpy at. Give thanks. Wow, that'd be awesome. Give thanks for the people that are not your favorite people. Because that'll change your mind. That'll change your heart, because Jesus likes that person, doesn't he? You know, Jesus liked all the people. He loved all people. Even the Jews, even the Pharisees and the Sadducees, Jesus liked them. Well, he was pretty hard on them. Well, he's pretty hard on me. He likes all those guys. And guess what? So do you. No, I don't. I do not. You know, you do. You love with the same love that Jesus loved. Did you know that? And you're giving thanks for all men. Hebrews 13:15 says, by him, Therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Giving thanks continually. Giving thanks unto His name. I like to give this Thanksgiving proclamation of George Washington, the first one that he did back in 1789. Because I also see that when God created this nation, He created it with a foundation. Remember what I said earlier? He said the Mayflower Compact. He said, you know, for the glory of God and the advancements of the Christian faith. That was the beginning of the Mayflower Compact, where the people on the boat, you know, they landed in a different place than they had originally planned, and so they were no longer going to be under the charter that King George had given them. So they wrote a short document that said, we put ourselves into a body that we're all going to submit to. But they started out the document with, here's the purpose of our community, for the glory of God and for the advancement of the Christian faith. And then here, after the Revolutionary War, and I'm going to read a little bit of an intro, and then we'll read that and then we'll wrap up. On October 3rd, 1789, George Washington issued his Thanksgiving Proclamation, designating for the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving to be held Thursday, the 26th of November, 1789. Marking the first national celebration of a holiday that has become commonplace in today's households. While subsequent presidents have failed to maintain this tradition, it was Washington's original proclamation that guided Abraham Lincoln's in 1863. In fact, Lincoln issued his proclamation the same day, October 3rd, and marked the same Thanksgiving Day, Thursday, November 26th. As Washington, setting Thanksgiving as the last Thursday on November after our first president's example. The proclamation was printed in newspapers, including the October 9, 1789 issue of the Pennsylvania Packet and Daily Advisor. Even in the 18th century, this concept of Thanksgiving was not new to the citizens of the United States. Colonists often established thank days to mark certain occasions. These one-time events could occur at any time during the year, emphasizing prayer and spiritual reflection, and were usually more solemn than the Thanksgiving that we observe today. Thanksgiving was not made a legal holiday until 1941. When Congress named the fourth Thursday in November as a National Day of Thanks. Okay, and here we go. Thanksgiving Proclamation of 1789. By the President of the United States of America, a proclamation. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity to peaceably establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Of course, that same year, the Constitution was ratified. That same year, 1789. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign the Thursday, the 26th day of November, next to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then unite in rendering unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care and protection of the people of this country. of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies, and for the favorable interpositions of His providence, which we experienced in the course and the conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty, which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national one now lately instituted, for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general, for all the great and various favors which He has been pleased to confer upon us. And also that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and Ruler of nations, and beseech Him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereign sovereigns and nations, especially such as have shown kindness to us, and to bless them with good government, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and the increase of science among them and us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as He alone knows to be best. Given under my hand at the city of New York, the third day of October in the year of our Lord, 1789, George Washington. Powerful. The first president of the United States, the commander-in-chief of the armies that won victory during the Revolutionary War. His Thanksgiving proclamation for the first nationally recognized day of Thanksgiving. Thank God. Our nation has offended. I don't care what people say. Our nation, just what I mentioned about the Mayflower Compact, and then our nation has a foundation of godly fear of God, godliness. Was the Constitution designed to make a nation a Christian nation with the fact, okay, everybody has to accept Jesus? No. But it opened the door. It laid a foundation so that everybody had the liberty and the freedom. Over in the First Amendment, which says that that there Congress shall make no law restricting the free exercise of religion or establishing a national church. So in other words, every man is free. The Texas Constitution in Article 1-6 says every man is free to worship God according to the dictates of his own conscience. State of Texas, awesome. First line in the Texas Constitution is in the name of Almighty God. God is recognized in our nation. He is recognized so that we might seek Him. Amen? And so, as we approach this day of Thanksgiving, I encourage us to know what it is to say that God says not to give thanks and have a turkey, but that God says for you and me to give thanks, because giving thanks changes our minds. Giving thanks changes our minds, causes us to glorify God by giving thanks to His name, and being it's part of our witness and part of our testimony is to give thanks unto His name. And giving thanks also builds you and me up and causes us to trust Him even when things look like they're in dire circumstances. Giving thanks will transform your life. Giving thanks will continue to keep you joyful and peaceful. Being grumpy and grumbling, which God also condemns in the Scripture and the apostles also condemn, because you're looking at your circumstances rather than the glory and the goodness of God. Amen.
Amen.